Got something quite exciting today. We've teamed up with Ethica CBD Sports Gel to bring you today's podcast with Sir Ian Botham. Now, I don't get the opportunity to film with people like Sir Ian Botham, extremely famous cricketer and has raised millions of pounds year on year for his chosen charities. Now, Ethica Sports Gel have helped me when it comes to my back. For those of you that know, I suffered with a bad back coming out of lockdown, probably doing too much when it came to trying to get a little bit more distance in my game and therefore put my back out a little bit. Carrying cameras, carrying golf bags around the golf course has certainly not helped. And to be honest with you, I was struggling to get 12 holes done. I certainly wasn't looking forward to the last six. But I went through many sort of treatments, sports massages, lots of stretching to try and sort my back out. However, I came across this CBD sports gel. Not been a big fan of CBD products in the past. However, I thought I'd give it a go. And within probably about a week, my back was ready to go again on the golf course. Now, this story comes to you because Sir Ian Botham is an ambassador for Ethica Sports Gel. And this is where we've got the opportunity to head up there and speak with Sir Ian about what he's been up to in his life and how Ethica has helped get him back onto the golf course. Enjoy the podcast. So Ian Botham, I just want to take this opportunity to welcome you to the Behind Golf podcast with me. I mean, you've picked us an absolute beauty of a spot, haven't you?
Yeah, St. Andrews looking down the 18th and the history of golf.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people there were here today, but certainly at King's Barnes, the two car parks were jammed. So, yeah, it's good. And the weather's been fair. A little chilly this afternoon, but no, it's... But we're very lucky. The Rustics Hotel look after us very, very well. And to be part and to be playing, have the opportunity to play with some of these great golfers, it's fantastic. I've been lucky enough to do it for many years now.
Yeah.
And... it's something you put into your diary and hope you get the invitation popping through the letterbox, or nowadays on an email.
23rd year after Dunhill.
Yeah, but I actually played in the Cup before that.
Did you?
The years of the Cup.
Wow.
So I was with Skulk Berger, and I just came back with him in the car. I drove him back. And he thinks it's about 26 years. 26. I reckon it was mid-90s, mid to early 90s when they started all this. So, yeah, but to be part of it is fantastic.
It's played over three courses. For those people that don't actually know that, it's played over King's
We all
Barnes.
Rotate. You all rotate.
Rotate, yeah.
So you play King's Barnes, St. Andrews, Carnoustie.
Yeah.
Carnoustie yesterday was in immaculate condition. And we're lucky. We had sunshine. It was warm. People were taking tops off, not putting them on, as you often have to in Scotland. But no, it's been... It's just a great experience. And it's been part of it for many years. It's very special.
King's Barnes today, how was that?
King's Barnes, I got off to what is called a not a particularly good first hole.
Okay.
Myself and my pro, we halved it in
did
seven.
You? Did you? Can only get better from there.
Yeah, it did actually, thankfully, yeah.
I mean, all three golf courses, as you know, are very special.
Mm.
And it's hard to rate them, isn't it? I mean, put them in... do you rate them? Would you put them in... Could you put them in an order?
Because I don't think you can, because you've got... Carnoustie probably has less traffic coming through it because it is a little way out. But it's always immaculate in condition. You've got King's Barnes, which is relatively new. I can remember flying... when we were flying helicoptering across the coastline there, and we saw the King's Barnes being developed in those many years ago. It's very nice, it's very accommodating, it's a good golf course, it's a good layout, and some of the most spectacular views, because you're along that coastline, and it is quite stunning. And then, of course, you've got St. Andrews, the history, and that's the thing about this course. Just think, when I walk over that bridge just down there,
I know.
Who else has walked over that bridge? Yeah. And it is a very special moment, and it's a very special place, St. Andrews.
Yeah.
As a town, the hotels are geared up for golf. We were up here with our own charity event a week ago, 10 days ago, and everybody wants to come to St Andrews and wants to play the courses around. So, yeah, it's very special to play the three of the best courses around. They're right up there. There are other courses that are very good, but those three are pretty special.
And, I mean, you're right, it's really hard to rate them. You've got the brutality of Carnoustie, which it can absolutely bite you, can't it? The beauty of King's Barnes, and then the history of the old course is just, yeah, it's pretty special, isn't it, to come and see it?
Well, I think back to last year, and I walked down to the balcony, I was staying at the St Andrews Old Course Hotel, and I opened the curtains, and I saw the same sight on Saturday and Sunday, and that was, there was a puddle that went all the way up to the top here. It's a lake.
Yeah.
There was guys on their surfboards going down the little wee becks there. I've never seen so much water. And then we finished off, and it was a 54-hole tournament, and we finished it on the Monday.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've not seen weather like that. But Carnoustie, notoriously, is always regarded, certainly in my books, as one of the toughest courses, but it's also one of the most immaculate.
Yeah, yeah. Now, over the years, you talked about all the years that you've played in this event. I mean, you've played with some pretty impressive golfers over those years. Woozy.
Played with Woozy for about 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
We're good buddies. What an honour. You know, there's a guy, won the Masters, could have won the Open at Lytham. If it hadn't been for his caddy, you know, he's fantastic. One of the best iron stroke hitters I've ever seen. Long irons, you know, just makes them talk. But I enjoyed a couple of years with John Daly.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
that must be pretty special. Yeah, great guy. What a talent.
Yeah.
I remember he actually hit it off the tee here, there, down, and he went 4-iron for safety, put it in the back.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, 4-iron.
He sacked his caddy on the first.
No, I think he sacked himself. But he was a good fun, a lot of talent. I remember Tiger Woods. We were in Dubai, and I went there, and John was practicing. He had his Diet Coke and his cigarette in the other hand, and he was hitting wedges off the ground, 30, 40 yards, and he'd do it with 10 with his top hand.
Yeah.
Left hand and then do 10 with his right hand. And I there wasn't one probably, the furthest away would have been 4 feet from 35 yards. And he just a talent. And I remember Tiger Woods walked past and John said to him, Tiger, you know, do you fancy a night out? Or worse to that effect. You got kind of a drink. And he said, well, I would do if I was as talented as you, I would be going for a drink. And that's
that
what
right?
Tiger Woods said to John Daly.
What a good answer, though.
Mm.
What a very good answer. Well, I mean, it's a tough question, talking about all those players that you've had the opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, but it is a tough question. But who would you say is the best you've seen? Is that hard? I know it's a tough question, but you talk about John Daly's talent, but, I mean, they all bring something else slightly different to the table. But would you say one maybe stood out that you just looked at and went, wow.
Well, I was lucky enough to caddy with Jack Nicklaus in the group, and Jack came over to open a course up in North Wales that he designed, and obviously Woozy was the Welshman.
Yeah.
Although technically he's in England, but we won't go into that. But he's the Welshman, and so he had. I was lucky enough to sit in the locker room. We were there about 3 hours afterwards and just listening to Jack. And so I'm very honoured. And he is my sporting idol.
Right.
I actually think what he's done and achieved and what he's done for
the game
is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Quite remarkable. And a lot of what we see now is because of Jack.
Yeah, he's a special man to the game, isn't he?
But, it's very difficult. I mean, you can pick out players. Oh, I think, if I had a 245, 250-yard shot in and I'd throw Woozy a 3-iron or a 4-iron, then he'd get it there. And he's strong, powerful. There's so many players have different talent. You know, someone who specialises. To pick one would be impossible because the top 50, top 100 in the world rankings are all excellent golfers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got a couple here. Bruce Koepka's here this week. I don't know. There's quite a few, actually, I think, of the Ryder Cup and the of both sides over. But, you're mixing with golfing royalty.
Yeah. And you talk about the Ryder Cup. I mean, is that an event you look forward to? Have you been to many yourself?
I've been a few. Yeah, quite a few, yeah.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them.
No, it's great. The atmosphere, you know, the team sports, there's something about, I know the golfers are used to playing individual sport for themselves, but I reckon they enjoy the Ryder Cup as much, if not more, because it is all coming together.
Yeah,
so it's special.
I know it goes very individual, but actually, you know, as golfers myself growing up, young lads growing up through the ranks, they would have played lots of team sport as well. You know, it was big in the amateur game. It's maybe not so big in the professional game, but yeah, I'm sure they look forward to that opportunity.
Yeah, they do. And to be honest with you, I think everybody enjoys watching them.
Yeah.
You know, they are, you know, these guys are very special players.
Yeah.
And to be honoured to be actually watching them and see them, how cleanly they strike the ball, the way they shape it according to the conditions. All I can say is that they'd beat me at golf, I might have beaten them at cricket. But there you go.
I'm so sure. we're all
in our own little world. But to mix it with these guys, and sportsmen do get on well together.
As a natural thing there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you and I have actually got something in common, amazingly. Some people aren't going to believe this, but we found a sports gel that has kept us going in this game of golf, because I've got to say to you, I was struggling a little bit when it came to my own game, really.
Mm.
Working the golf course, working with my cameras, carrying my golf bag, and 12 holes go by and I'm kind of done, really. I found Ethica CBD sports gel, applied it to my back, and off I went from there.
It's the best product that I've used, and I'm not saying this, I've got two things I'm really proud of to be involved with. Revitif, which is a foot massage for circulation of blood, etc.
Yeah.
And also, because that does a great job, and Ethica, which I've used it quite a lot myself, and it makes a hell of a difference.
Yeah.
And I've got people go, oh yeah, yeah. I said, try it, you know, rub it in, do it. Oh, the next day, oh, I feel better now. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So word of mouth is strong, but the restrictions, I just do not understand the logic of a gel that you're putting into a muscle or injured because of the CBD restrictions, then a lot of people are missing out.
Yeah.
And I just do not understand it. You're not inhaling it, you're not injecting it, you know, you're not putting it into a teapot. It's a gel, it's there, and it does a great job. And I would say to anybody, I know pros have to be careful because of the testing and what have you, but what are they actually testing for?
Mm.
You're testing for a gel that's actually making someone better.
Yeah.
Isn't that in everyone's interest?
Yeah, I mean, from your point of view, I mean, you've had an incredible cricket career, as we all know, and you've done some amazing charity walks over the years, which has probably taken its toll on your body over the time.
4 years of surgery, yeah.
Yeah, and you've gone through some surgeries and come out the other side of it and able to get back playing a little bit of golf. And I'm just, one of the things that I come back to the Alfred Dunhill Championship, and I know you struggled to sort of walk the courses a few years back. And
I can walk it now, and I do actually walk it. I mean, today I have a buggy, but because in the tournament I'm the only person can drive it.
Okay.
Or you have a driver, a designated driver.
Yeah.
And your caddy walks alongside with a bag, which is the way. I understand that. That's fine. But it's more a precaution with me. Like now, you've had a little bit of rain, a slip.
Yeah.
But the body is strong. It's good now. Hitting the ball much better.
Yeah.
Mobility, and that comes from being able to use Ethica.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why there's a problem. It's beyond me. I reckon it's a case of someone thinking, oh, that's really good stuff there. We'll ban it, but I'll get onto it later or something.
How did you actually come across it?
Rory, he approached me.
Yeah. yeah.
and said about it. We went to told me more about it. Everybody I know in sports physiotherapy would love to use this.
Yeah.
Now, that's the message, isn't it?
It's a huge message, yeah. For someone that's been through what you've been through to come out the other side and keep playing the game that you love.
Yeah, I've got people, friends who genuinely it's changed their lives. Mobility.
And you talked about it, but people have been sceptical with the CBD, and I think it's been looked at in probably a negative light with other products that have been out there. Anything that you'd say to those people?
Jealousy is a very, very bad thing. And it's something you shouldn't have. This is here. We're trying to help people. And it is helping if they're allowed to use it. And that is the problem. That's that big if. But look, I think there's people now who have actually come round to the thinking a little bit like the way we are. And why is it? Let's do some tests on it. And hopefully that can break down some of the barriers.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's a case of, oh, well, you know, it's got that in it, so we can't use it. Well, what are you on about?
Yeah.
What are you actually talking about? So let's put it to the test. And I would suggest that, yeah, go on, go into the labs, tell us what effect it will have on a sportsman.
Yeah.
Apart from helping him get fit.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see, but I do think there's light at the end of the tunnel now. And like everybody else, fingers crossed.
So I've heard through the grapevine that in years gone by you're a bit of an all-rounder really when it came to sport. You put your hand to most sports, do you say?
Yeah, I wasn't very good at synchronized swimming.
And we're not, you know, you gave it a go.
Or dressage. but no, I always loved golf.
Yeah.
So I played in the lower divisions. I played football. I played badminton to a reasonably high level.
Yeah.
Which I a great sport. Golf. Obviously cricket. Yeah, I have a crack at most things.
Yeah.
And obviously, as you get older, I need a bit of help. That's times. But the body's in really good nick at the moment, so I'm very pleased, and that's played its part, Ethica.
Who got you into golf? That's what I would like to know.
My father.
Was it? Very early? In your youth?
Yes. Oh, no, my earliest memory is... I wouldn't remember the name of the golf course. It was actually it wasn't Birkdale. It was the other one they play up there. Anyway,
Hoy Lake?
Lytham.
Oh, Lytham, yeah. Lytham, yeah.
So I went up there, and I think I was about 3 years old.
Wow.
But I can have them. I remember one thing. My dad said, "Sure, we'll go down there and you can play from the fairway." I said, "No, I want to hit it here." And I was three going on four. And he had this cut down forward or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I smacked it over all the gorse, which was about 100 yards, 50 to 100 yards. And that was...
So you had the power back then?
Well, I think timing more than power. But no, I'm not going to say I probably struggle to do that now. But no, he my father encouraged me a lot in sport. He was a good footballer.
Yeah.
He could have played... Bolton Wanderers tried to sign him when he was in the Navy. And would you believe he said to them, "I can't sign for you in the Navy because I want to get my pension."
Yeah, okay.
So you imagine one of the footballs now, I don't want to play in the Premiership because I've got to go.
It was a very different world back then.
Totally.
But, I mean, I would say that we all fall in love with the game of golf. Mm. I know you started when you were three, but when did the kind of, where would you say your love affair for the game started?
From whatever age. I was never without a ball or a bat or a football, cricket ball, tennis ball. And it was always sport, sport, sport.
Yeah.
So many people, I know so many people and have watched these people who have literally all the talent, but just give it away. Can't be bothered. Why? I tell you what, playing professional sports is a lot more fun than working.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the penny doesn't sink. But no, a lot of people, I see some of them guys, they just drift away. And,
I don't know. In cricket and in golf? Or just
both. And football.
Football.
All sports.
Yeah.
I mean, football, like you said, it wasn't that fashionable when I was playing. I mean, players weren't on 500,000 a week or whatever it is. So, every opportunity I'll be out there playing one form of sport. Rain, snow, thunder, lightning, a bit of sunshine occasionally in the UK, but I was always out there. I was up for it. And not just, I love going salmon fishing, wading down the rivers.
Nice.
Yeah, I go to Scotland, was up there a couple of weeks ago, got a couple out, which was nice, gave them a little kiss and put them back.
Yeah.
That's one of my other passions. And actually, there's quite a lot of sportsmen, you know, who do that. I mean, I'm not into sitting around a carp pool, you know, and throwing in some sweet corn, all right, but I understand why other guys do. Mm. And probably the same buzz that I get when I'm in a river. And that is, you've got, say, 80 yards, and you're walking down that 80 yards, a yard at a time cast, yard at a time cast, sweeping the water. And you get out at the end, I get there and look out, and I look at a watch, it's 2.5 hours gone.
Amazing.
Total shutdown.
Yeah.
And it works.
You need that though, don't you?
All sportsmen do.
Sportsmen, just that shutdown moment, bit of peace and quiet, bit of your own time.
Yeah, and I think it's exactly what it should be.
Yeah. Golf and cricket. Is there anything that you feel like you've brought into the game
cricket. I think the way I played, I was always aggressive on the front foot, which. I think someone's just
upset.
Duffed it. I'm just watching to see if it's this lad here. No, he's just having a swing here. See, what do you think of this swing, Dan? A bit falling over. That's not going to go.
He's done all right off that slope. Where's it going? Oh, he's done all right. He's overcompensating for it going left off that slope now, I think. But
yeah, well, he's got a long putt there. Yeah. Swings quite a bit from there. Yeah. Where were we before I got rudely interrupted?
We were just talking briefly about the similarities maybe between cricket and golf.
Well, in theory, you would think that the golf would be easier because the ball's stationary.
Yeah.
No, I like a moving ball, but too much to think about when I'm over it. I'm a quick player.
Yeah.
So I don't try and take it all in. I say to the caddy, Martin, who's caddied for me for the last 6 years in this tour, and I just say, what's the distance, mate? It's 140 to the front, 160 to the pin. Okay, fine. That's 7-iron.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, this 180, 190, 200, 5-iron.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my thought process. Nothing else goes into it. Simple. And if I play it simple and keep it simple, it's like any sport. I mean, I played cricket with guys that just analyse everything. You know, you see guys going up and they have one of these iPads or whatever, and after they've been out, and they watch it to see. Well, the obvious choice is you probably played a bloody awful shot. Or you gave it away and whatever. You don't have to look at it to know that, do you?
Yeah.
If you get a Jaffa, a really good ball, and you can't, you know, pitches middle and leg and hits off, else my old mate Warney, that's a different cup of tea. But when you've just had a go at a wide one and nicked it to the slips, well, that's a good shot, by the way.
Sounds good.
But I think you can overthink in sport.
Well, it's interesting, all the sports that you've just been sort of talking about, things that you've played in the past, they're all reactive. They're reaction sports, like even fishing, when football, cricket, they're all reactive, whereas golf is, as you said, it's very stationary. You've got almost too much time to think about it before you hit it.
And I think the best golfers don't think about it too much.
Yeah, just get on with it.
They'll see it, they'll have the vision. That's what I want to do, and that's what I'll attempt to do. And that's, I think, pretty much the way I play sport.
And would you say, like bringing over with cricket, do you bring the power with you into the game of golf?
I used to have when I was young. I'm actually getting better and better now because I've been rebuilt.
Yeah.
So I've got a whole new left knee, which is fantastic. I've got right hip and left hip were both ripped out within 6 months.
Yeah.
So 3 months and 3 months. And a spinal rebuild where the fusion had slipped. So that's 4 years of my life getting over that lot. But now, much more mobility. I'm not having to hit it a little bit off the back foot to protect the knee and all that kind of, which you do automatically as a sportsman because you know where the pain is. So
someone's chipped in there, or putted in from the Valley of Sin, I think. Yeah.
Well, there's a bit of high-fiving going on. Yeah.
Now, I would imagine back in the day when you were out on your cricket tours that a lot of the guys... Would you have a lot of downtime to go and actually play a little bit of golf?
No, I always found time for it. Time for golf.
Yeah.
And a lot of the England team now, they will have, if they've got a 5-day break, they'll play golf probably for 3 days. Then do a couple of days. Because you haven't forgotten how to play, have you, over a period of 5 days?
No.
You play a test match, 5 days, you've got 5 days off. Then, you know, might be one or two that want to go and work on something. But most of the guys will be golfing.
Yeah.
And it keeps them competitive.
And was that, and I know they do it a lot more now, and I remember being at school and like nobody played golf in my school. Mm. I was literally the only golfer, but I did say to them at the time when I certainly got into my secondary, I said, I promise you, all of you lot that play football and all the other sports that you play, you'll be playing golf one day, and they are, in their 40s, you know, playing.
Yeah, yeah.
But was that something that most of the guys did, played a bit of golf, or did they, or was it just a few at the time?
There was always lots.
There's always lots.
You'd never have a problem getting a four ball.
Is that right?
Yeah, never. Yeah, I would play, there'd be Lammy, myself, Paul Allett, another good golfer, still off about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Bobby Willis, my old mate, sat in along with us. But Warney loved it. Ricky Ponting's a good player. Greg Blewett's an even better player. So you can have the Ashes golf as well, which we do. We've done it once
or
twice.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool, I'd love to video that for you.
Well, you'd be quite impressed with some of the quality in the play.
Yeah, on that then, so who would you say is the best golfer out of the cricketers that you've come across? Like, were there some scratch golfers?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Greg Blewett's +2.
Wow, yeah.
My eldest grandson is +2, and the James who plays rugby is off scratch.
Wow. You got him into it early, well done.
Well, they've been playing forever, but I don't like playing with them.
And they take your money.
They stand on that tee there. I might get it over the road.
Yeah.
They're on the edge of the green.
Putting.
They are literally 100 yards ahead of me.
Yeah. But that's the game, isn't it? That's the game where it's kind of gone to.
Yeah, but I said to him, you know, still got to think your way around it a little bit.
You've got some experience over them. Any kind of, when you, again, on going back to your golfing days on cricket tours and things like that, any countries, any special places that you've had the opportunity to just to experience and think, oh, that stands out a little bit more than others?
Well, I love Australia.
Yeah, you spend a bit of time there.
You've got to be careful where you walk in the rough.
I'm sure, yeah.
There's a lot of things that will kill you. But that aside, there's some great golf courses there. New Zealand has some magnificent golf courses without the enemies crawling through the grass. And some of the best fishing as well, trout fishing is in... New Zealand. So I work for a company, Triple M, which is a radio station in Australia for the test series. So Australia are playing India.
Yeah.
So I'm like the neutral. So I sit between it. Then next year, it's the Ashes. Well, I won't be quite so neutral. But no, it's worldwide golf.
Yeah.
Kapil Dev's a good player. Indian, fantastic cricketer as well. He's... very good player, but I would say Warney was very good until sadly disappeared from us.
Yeah, but he loved this event, didn't he?
Yeah, he loved it. He absolutely loved it. We used to have some great nights.
I bet.
Great fun.
I bet you did.
Yeah, Piers Morgan. See, I was with him last night. And,
yeah. You enjoy the town? Do you go out into the
we
town?
We don't really. We tend to go to the pavilion because there's always a function.
Okay.
Well, there is most of the time, and then. Tonight's a pretty quiet night. Last night we had a wine and whiskey tasting. Yeah, enjoyed it because a lot of the South African winemakers are here.
Oh, right.
Because they come over for the Dunhill. Yeah, Scott Berger, Jan Rupert, they all have their wineries. And we did a bit of wine tasting last night, which was very interesting. And then John from, he comes from Dundee. Expert on whiskey came and did a talk to us all.
Yeah.
Just told us a bit about it, and then free bars. About I don't know how much that was costing, because some of that stuff was 30, 40 years old.
Very dangerous.
So yeah, we had a night like that. Tonight I'll probably wander down to the Jigger, have a couple of beers, and then wander back because we're up early tomorrow here. So we're teeing off at 9:30, I think. But we're on the 10th.
Oh, are you getting out there? They shuttle you out, don't they?
Yeah. So we get shuttled out, but it just means you've got to get here. So I tend to drive and leave it in the car park over there, although we're only here, to transport the clubs.
Yeah.
And then we get in the buggies and they take us up and to the tent and then start on the 10th. I actually don't mind starting on the 10th.
No, I was going to say, I'd like to get that back nine out of the way.
If it's a little quieter wind-wise and weather.
Yeah,
I haven't looked at it to see what it is yet, but yeah, fingers crossed.
Now, I know I mentioned briefly about your walking and your charity work that you've done, which has just been absolutely amazing. And you use golf as well to bring these communities together, don't you?
Yeah.
Top up.
Just sending our sound man to do. Sound man's just been
just
given a
task.
Just
top it up with some water, please.
Thanks, mate.
How many years have you been doing that now?
I think we've done 19 walks.
Right.
And I know that it equates, because the girls were working it out, to about 10,500 miles.
Wow.
Which is London to Sydney.
Yeah, is it really?
Yeah, I suggest you fly it. it's very much part of... it just came around. I got injured, saw kids dying in hospital, and with leukemia, which I'd never heard of. And then we decided to do this walk, and the first one we did, John Groats to Land's End, everyone thought I was barking mad to do it, no one had ever done it, and a sponsored walk shape.
Yeah.
Well, we got it, and we made it work. We did it in 33 days, 1,000 miles, and it was just amazing. I wish I had Ethica with me then.
Yeah.
That would have got a real hammering. But no, we got through it, and we did walks after walks, and hence I think that's why I had 4 years of surgery. But the thing that drove us on, when we first did the very first walk, there was a 20% chance of survival for kids with the most common form of leukemia. And I'd just seen four young boys die when I was having a foot rebuilt. And now it's about 94-95% survive. So in that time block, And it's in Scotland, near Glasgow. The laboratory, the labs there for the development and exploring. And it's not just it's sort of as you do this stuff, you suddenly find, oh, that's good with dementia, and this works with that. Mm. So it's been very, very productive. Again, family orientated. So Kath did most of the early walks, and then Sarah took over the latter walks. So it's a proud thing. We've raised a hell of a lot of money, but it's money that's been well spent.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And you mentioned earlier about your Beefies charity foundation that you did up here at St Andrews. And I also noticed you did a little bit of work as well, and Beef Johnson was involved.
Beef, actually, it's so nice to have him back.
Yeah, isn't it?
Because guys are playing off the road here. Look, got to hit it off the road, you can't drop it.
Well,
or you do, it's a penalty. That's all fact. If you
can run it up, which he's trying to do there.
Well, it's not bad. He's got it to the front.
I saw someone get up and down from that road earlier.
Just now.
Just now. Heard.
Yeah, no, that road, it's...
Is it a free drop or you have to play it?
I think you have to play it.
Right,
Well, he played it, certainly.
He played it, yeah. I just didn't know if he had a good lie on there, that was all. But yeah, you had the opportunity I saw with Beef Johnson. And I suppose what I'm coming on to with that question really is... characters in sport,
it's good to see him back.
You were a huge character in the sport, in your sport, and Beef Johnson's a massive character in the golf game. We lost a few, as in what I mean by that is, are there still enough characters out there in sport?
There are, but we've lost a few. Yeah, I mean Bob Willis, Shane Warne, Rod Marsh. There's too many people, and sadly, I'm 68, going on 69, and you start looking over your shoulder and see if am I next up. But I think that sport requires and needs characters, and I hate to see players being suppressed or you shouldn't be doing that or you can't be doing that. And no, let them express themselves. Because you were a boring bastard when you played, doesn't mean to say he's got to be.
Is that media driven?
I think, yeah. I mean, they made a big, big thing with Basball. You know, they go on about Basball. The players hate it, but at the end of the day, they're doing, I think, what the way we tried to play in the 80s.
Yeah.
And that was to be on the front foot.
Yeah.
And be aggressive. And West Indies, that period of time, were the best side that's, in my opinion, ever lived.
Yeah.
So you battled with them. Australia are always fierce competitors. New Zealand always come hard. Pakistan and India are very hard to beat in their own backyard. Sri Lanka, emerging teams. And the game is spreading. Now, a lot of us say it's spreading because of white ball cricket. I actually don't think it's that. I think because the players are now scoring at 4 to 5 runs an over in Test cricket,
yeah.
Not 1.1 or 1.2. And that is suddenly people go along now, they get a day's entertainment.
Yeah, exciting.
They go along, they have their, you know, have their picnic baskets, or they can go and book a restaurant in one of the pavilions or whatever. So if you go to, one of the greatest sporting experiences for me was the Boxing Day Test match in Melbourne at the MCG. When you go out there, and I used to play up a bit with them. I used to carry the ball and chain and give it the cuffs, you know, yeah. And I would do that, and I could actually...
And they let you back in?
Well, there's about 100,000 screaming convicts inside that ground. and they were ripping... I could hear them trying to rip up the concrete and throw it at me.
Yeah.
But that's why I have such a great affiliation with the country. The biggest compliment you'll ever get from an Australian is, you're more Aussie than Pom.
Wow.
That's a massive compliment.
They love their banter as much as we do.
Yeah.
First tee nerves. Now, I've teed it up here twice at this golf course, and I got to say, of all the golf that I've played in my life, probably the most nervous I've been, certainly the first time I ever teed it up here. It wasn't a driver, but I hit a driver because I needed the biggest club I could find. I know that... lots of people struggle with first tee nerves. Lots of people struggle with anxiety when they're playing golf and under a little bit of pressure. But how were your nerves when you were playing cricket? Did you ever feel it?
No. If I did, I used it to get myself going. But to be honest with you, no, I don't think I had nerves. I actually wanted to be in the arena. I wanted to be in the hottest place in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's why, if I wasn't bowling, I was standing at slip. And... pestered the team to let me open in one day cricket. Eventually they did, and it worked.
Yeah.
And that's why now you're seeing that more aggressive style. So nerves, no. I stand here on the first tee, and it's the widest fairway in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, get it down the middle. And if it does, suddenly the whole world is yours.
Emotional release.
Yeah. But it is, it's just a very special place, St Andrews. And you stand on that tee, you've got the R&A behind you.
Yeah, all the members watching on.
Oh, yeah. But that, I actually like that now. When I first did it, I thought, geez, what am I doing here? And this is not my sport. Give me a bat.
Yeah.
But I love it now. I love being around golfers. I like their thought processes. I find them quite amusing. Their discipline, because you never know what time you're going to be shoved out, and if it rains or whatever. So their discipline is good. And you know, one thing I do regret is that maybe if I'd have played golf, I may say maybe, because you never know, that's just a... But the longevity of it.
Yeah.
So you can go on and play, you know, seniors, 65, 70, and still being highly competitive.
Yeah. And entertaining the crowds.
Exactly. And that's what I feel we're doing when we're here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I sank a putt today on the 9th at King's Barnes, and I'd hit the second shot. It got to the top of the little bank. I don't know if you know the course there.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And it came back down to where the water is, but it just stayed on that side. So
got a 58 degree angle, flicked it, got it up, and it went, and it stopped. Apparently the boy said it spun well, but it stopped about 12 feet down the slope.
Snaky one.
And wind behind and slope, and that beck is just down there. And I actually touched this, and it trickled, and the crowd, because it was going so slow, and then it just rolled in, just dropped in, like, a little bit like that putt of Tiger's at Augusta, flicks in.
Yeah.
And that was, that's a buzz. That's good fun. That's
and
great
the crowd
fun.
Get behind you.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of stumps my question, really, my next question, which was, you know, what do you think is the most nervous you would have been, which was stepping out for the first time playing for England, stepping onto the first tee here, or getting your knighthood from the Queen?
Knighthood from the Queen by a country mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd actually been fortunate enough to have met the Queen, Her Late Majesty, on quite a few occasions because of England cricket, captains, teams and all that sort of stuff. And I think she's probably the most remarkable woman that I've ever met. I think she's quite amazing. You think of some of these ladies, you know, Maggie Thatcher, what she did when, you know, beat all the odds. No, I think the Queen, is something you can't really explain to people. It's just so special. Mm. And my family were there, watching the ceremony, and it was pretty special.
So some parting words of wisdom I like to get from certainly people that come onto my podcast. So for those up and comings, let's say, some young kids coming up through the ranks that want to maybe a career in sport of some sort, doesn't have to be cricket, doesn't have to be golf, but want a career in sport.
Two thought processes.
Yeah.
One, tell the parents not to push.
Okay, I was going to say, what was the parents thing? Yeah.
Don't push.
Yeah.
That will turn that child off, however good he is. Do not push. Let them explore it. And the most important thing, enjoy. Go out there and enjoy it. You're playing, you're very lucky, you're a good sportsman, you're playing a high level, whatever level's high level when you first step into it, whether it's club cricket, county cricket, whatever, and any sport, you take these steps. So I think it's crucial that you all turn up to enjoy. Parents, do not be too pushy, because if you want to put your children off sport, that's the way to do it. Let them live their life, not you relive your life through them.
Absolutely, well said. Well, I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for taking your time to come out and sit with us. I know we've had a lot of entertainment going on around us. Anybody coming up, another long drive, front edge?
Look at it. These boys rip it.
They do rip it. Yeah, I mean, you've kept us entertained over the years, and I just want to take this opportunity personally to thank you for that. I know there's a lot of people watching that are huge fans of yours. And wish you all the best tomorrow on the old course.
Yeah, I look forward to the old course. I think we'll have to be about minus 20.
I think you might do, but
you know what?
Say,
we'll have fun.
It's moving day.
And also, if you want to play sport, Ithaca.
Thank you, Ian.
Pleasure, Dan. Thank you. Very much.